when love goes astray and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
When dreams become old. That, of course, is When Love Goes Astray. I would ask that you call in at 877-480-4120. If you can tell me who did that song, if you know, I will give you a copy of Marina Lombardi's book, It's My Divorce Too, Divorce from a Child's Perspective. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about self-esteem, and actually one part of today we will be discussing with our guest, self-esteem. And I just wanted to share with you all something I read in a novel. Hopefully I can focus. All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is built on our thoughts. It is made from our thoughts. If a man speaks or acts with evil thoughts, pain will follow him, just like the wheel follows follows the foot of the ox that draws the cart. If a person speaks of acts with pure thought, happiness follows him like a shadow that never leaves. Just wanted to share that with all of you. Today we're going to go back to nuts and bolts of the law. I am very pleased to have today Marilyn Kane, who you may not remember, but was the wife in the famous Nichols versus Nichols case. The largest deadbeat dad ever. And I even brought with me today the People magazine where Marilyn was on the cover in 1995. I saved this one. How about that?
That's very cool, Larry. I'm sure you have only the second copy. I have the first.
Not too many left?
I don't think
so. How are you, Marilyn?
Very well. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
I could just say, tell me your story, but I think that that might be a little too broad. Let's cut to the chase. Did you ever get any money from Mr. Nichols?
Well, there was money that was received, but I have to tell you, it wasn't the impetus for the case. And over the many years, very little of the money that was so-called owed was paid. But I would tell you that when I pursued this case back in 1995, it wasn't because I wanted to grab the assets and get all the money. For me, it was more about justice. And I also had a very, very precise message. And that was that when one brings children into this world and one decides that a marriage is over, there is still tremendous responsibility to those children. And part of what my journey was about was to exact a justice and to make sure that child support was paid at really whatever level. I wasn't out after the big bucks. I think the judges were getting more and more angry with his noncompliance, and that's why they slapped some of these large amounts that he owed.
Well, the fact is he owed the money.
He did. He did, and they based it on an income at the time. Was great. I think as time went on, he probably did not have that large income. But I was always, always willing to have that judgment modified if he had remained in the jurisdiction.
Or if he had paid something as against
exactly.
the money. And just so the listeners know, your case wasn't about property distribution or alimony. It was just strictly child support, correct?
It was. There wasn't an alimony involved at all. The property, we were renting a home at the time, so that wasn't important. He had taken the car to Canada, but the car wasn't in my name, so that wasn't my property either, even though I felt at the time my car was stolen.
Well, technically it was your property because it was marital property.
Yes.
And the business that he formed was also marital property,
yes.
But you didn't go after that
no,
either.
No, I didn't.
You were only interested in supporting your children.
Exactly.
Now, as I recall your story, and I reread the People magazine article this morning on the way in, 1995 is when it started.
Yes, 1995 was actually when he was arrested. But the child support had stopped a few years before that. The reason, actually, it made the headlines, I believe, was besides the fact that it was a very large amount that was owed, I think.
Like three quarters of $1 million, something like that?
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars based on many years of non-payment. But what made it particularly, I think, interesting to the press was that the ex-husband had gone from state to state and to Canada. And it was this continually evading the child support by making these moves that was particularly difficult. That actually is what brought it in within the federal jurisdiction.
Well, let's talk about the federal jurisdiction. There's a law. It's called the Child Support Recovery Act of 1992.
That's right.
Okay. And how did you find out about that?
This was amazing. No attorney had told me about it at the time, even though every time we ended up in one state, Mr. Nichols moved. I had read about it in the New York Times. It was a very, very small clip in the editorial section. And it talked about evading child support by crossing state lines. And it said it was a federal crime. And that was remarkable to me. There it was. That was what we needed. But it wasn't a matter for the local authorities to go after him. It was a matter of speaking to the U.S. Attorney's office in New York State. And they had to compel the other state's U.S. Attorney's office to get involved.
Not the FBI?
And then they get in touch with the FBI if they agree to pursue the case.
Okay. That's a long way home. When did you start the divorce action?
That was in 1990.
1990. And that was shortly after your husband left?
It was about 5 years after he left. He had been considerate over the first few years, but when he had met somebody, and then they left for Canada, actually secretly. Even my in-laws did not know he was leaving the country with the car.
You're more concerned about the car than anything else.
Well, the car was infuriating because it meant that I couldn't take my children to our country house. I couldn't move them around the city. They were taking judo lessons. They were taking different classes. And it really stymied my ability to do what I had been doing before.
Okay. And you were basically, were you working then?
I was. I'd always been working and usually paying for things such as private school and summer camp and vacations. That's okay. What added a little pleasure to the life.
I got it. All right. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk more with Marilyn Kane all about support enforcement. You are listening to The Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom, and we are at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes. And join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Going back to the 1960s for the Bobby Fuller Four singing, I Fought the Law and the Law Won. What an appropriate song.
That was. We were dancing here, actually.
That's right. Yes. Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking at this magazine, and on the cover is a very young Monica Seles and a very young Courtney Cox and Marilyn Caine, who, other than her hair color, has not changed a bit.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, before we get back to the money,
yeah,
tell me about your ex-husband's relationship with the children.
Actually, it was excellent, and he would see them every other weekend and have sleepovers, and we were very good about sharing that, and that I really thought we were going to have a good divorce. I thought we would just go on like really mature adults with a lot of love between the kids and enough support. But of course, once he left the country, the children were not able to see him.
And all right, eventually he came back to the country. He did. When did he come back?
Oh,
if you recall,
I don't really recall. I know he moved to Florida, and then he moved to Vermont after he came back from Canada.
And did he make any efforts to see your kids?
I think he did want them to travel to Canada, and that made me very nervous. I didn't want to put the youngsters on a plane, but things were really spiraling out of control at that point. So there wasn't a real effort once he left New York City to see the children. It was not something that I necessarily wanted. I've always encouraged when families have come to me and asked me for advice and such. I think it's crucial that that child visitation be kept up, and it also
I couldn't agree
be
with you more.
Enforced. I hear so often because I consider myself a gender neutral person in my position on this, and a lot of men have come to me and said, you know, I'm not allowed to see my kids, and I'm doing the best I can, and I'm trying to support them. You know, I can't pay everything, but I always feel that's really cruel. They're two separate issues. You owe child support. That's a given. And there should be visitation. And both of those are legal points that should be enforced.
They're independent as well.
They are absolutely independent. And if someone can't pay or they're struggling to pay, it's terrible if the other parent uses that as a wedge and doesn't let the parent, who might even be a nurturing parent, not see the children. So I see them as very, very distinct issues.
Okay. I just want to clarify one thing. Now, he had put money on the islands in another country, hadn't he?
Oh, I never really knew that for sure. It was in some of the reports, but I'm pretty sure he basically just spent all his money. He and his second wife had quite a spending spree. I think one of the most amazing days in the case was when we went up to Vermont, and there was actually a court-ordered auction of all his possessions. And I would tell you, it was really the only time that I cried openly, because it was all the possessions were in a warehouse, and I was flabbergasted at the quantity of things that had been bought. I just had no idea. There was China that had not been taken out. The labels were still on it. There was Waterford Crystal. There were multiple sets of skis. It was not the way that we had lived at all. And it was just this excessive spending. And that really got to me, knowing that those monies were spent on things when there was no child support coming whatsoever. Okay. I think that was the most painful aspect of the whole situation.
I can imagine that is the key to your case. If he had no money, he had other alternatives, but he had the money and he was buying other things.
Exactly. You know, you hear that expression, you can't get blood from a stone. And that's, you know, true. Some guys are down and out and they're doing their best. But in this case, it was just this decadence of spending.
Now, let me ask you this. When was the... At the beginning, he was voluntarily contributing support.
Absolutely, yes.
And then you were divorced, and there was a court order that he paid, correct?
Actually, it was before we were divorced.
You had a pendente lite motion?
Yes, that's right.
And he wasn't paying that at all? Cause
not at all, yeah. It was really a vendetta at that point. I remember his second wife saying to me in a Florida court, you're never going to see a nickel. She really had quite a bit of control over him, I think. And that was unfortunate because I did see changes in how he acted and how he behaved in his life.
Second wives always do have that kind of...
Maybe not always, but
Svengali kind of...
Actually, that's what my father-in-law described her as, a Svengali. But that
your father-in-law, that would be...
His father.
His father,
yeah.
Okay.
Not to say that is an excuse for a bad behavior. Just because you're influenced by an outside person.
No, there's no excuse.
No.
And the truth, I mean, what I always say to my clients when they say, I got to support this other family, I go, your first family has a first mortgage on your earnings.
Exactly. Actually, I was on Oprah, and I was the counterpoint because that show was about second wives who were complaining that the first wives were getting all the money. And actually, Oprah stole my thunder because it was like, hey, honey, you knew what you were getting into when you marry this guy. The children from the first marriage don't just disappear. But she was saying everything I wanted to say. So though it was a fun experience to be on the show, I didn't get to talk very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you an opportunity to talk as much as you want
okay,
today.
Larry.
And if we don't finish, I'll invite you back. I'll invite you back anyway.
Thank you.
Now, so did you have a lawyer?
Well, we started out with
Don't tell me who you had. I just want to know.
I am not going to say his name because he did not do a very good job. So at the point when I was really being bankrupted by those fees, I went to corporation counsel on the child support. I guess it's child support court.
Through the family court.
Yeah. Actually, it was Supreme Court. And she was just excellent. It was this fabulous gal, Susie Colt. And she was corporation counsel, and we just went full steam ahead and really made it into an issue of import, I thought.
Oh, it's very, very much an issue of import. What I noticed was you never went to the appellate division or anything, or the Court of Appeals. I didn't check the federal law. There must have been a federal case against him.
There was, criminal. Actually.
You
know, it was
People of the United States of America versus...
That's right.
Whatever his first name is, Nichols?
That's right. It was a federal case, and because we used the Child Support Recovery Act as the main case, and that at that time would give someone up to 5 years in prison for evading child support by crossing state lines, we got the law changed, and now you could get up to 10 years in prison for owing $5,000 or more. I believe that's what the change was.
And I would assume it also includes leaving the country, as opposed to
I think
state
it
lines.
Would yes.
Okay, so did you have a written agreement with your then husband at any time?
We had a pretty comfortable agreement. I remember when we were speaking and before it got out of hand, we literally had these 3x5 cards, and I still recommend this to people that are trying to negotiate a reasonable settlement, you know, with a little topic on top, like maybe it would be college or camp or visitation or car or insurance or life insurance. And each one is a point in life that should be discussed, and hopefully two reasonable people can come to some decision and then present that to a mediator or to the lawyers, try to keep the vendetta out of it, and go on with your life, because basically you've got a whole life ahead of you.
I have so many questions, and I want to get, and I love the idea with the index cards. I will go back to this when we come back from the break. I am here with Marilyn Kane talking about support enforcement. This is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom, and we are here on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
That, of course, are the Eagles, the group I identify as my youth. Everybody's got a group like that. That, of course, is Lion Eyes, another appropriate divorce song, or in the case of Mr. Nichols, Lion Mouth, Lion Everything. Correct? I am here today with Marilyn Kane. What I was trying to get at before the break was you never had a written agreement with your then husband.
There was court ordered agreements.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that the listeners understand, there are different rules in terms of modification, whether you have a written agreement or whether the judge makes the decision about support. So in your case, you had no agreement; it was a judge's decision only.
That's correct.
And he was able. If he wanted to, he could have gone into court and sought a modification if his circumstances had changed.
Absolutely. I think that would have been really a reasonable solution. If the amount that the court ordered is too much, you can prove that it's too much. You can prove through your tax statements that you're not earning that much. Sometimes there is a problem with that if someone is self-employed and money is being hidden, but the fact is that if someone can't pay that amount and you go into court and show that your lifestyle doesn't indicate that you could pay it and that your income tax indicates that you can't pay it, you know, why not go for a modification? And I never really understood why my ex-husband didn't just ask for that modification. I certainly would have agreed to it.
Okay, let's just make a distinction here. If you had an agreement, then there are a whole different set of rules that apply to modification, but that's not your instance, and we're only talking about you right now. So he never went in for modification. All he did was run.
Yes.
Didn't pay. Correct?
That's correct.
Oh, boy.
And it was tough. You know, it was tough. I was at the time, we had eviction notices. The children would see these notices. They were under the door. They were sent by express mail. They were sent in the regular mail.
Posted on the door, probably.
It was embarrassing and very scary. At the time, I was living in Stuyvesant Town, which has gotten a lot of headlines lately. But it was a wonderful place to live and to raise the children. And at the time, Metropolitan Life owned it. And I actually started to learn my negotiating skills because I sat down with a gentleman that was an executive there. And they agreed basically not to evict us. I made a pledge, a promise, that I would pay back all of the arrearages in my rent that I could not pay. I didn't have the resources to pay the full rent. And they actually agreed to that. And, you know, I think back on that gentleman, on how kind they really were. And I did pay back everything. It took a number of years, but every penny in arrears was paid back to Metropolitan Life.
Marilyn, I'm so taken with the fact that you've come here and talked to me and talked to our listeners today that I forgot the most important thing. Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I tell you, it's been quite a journey. I think that what I went through then gave me a lot more gumption than I might have originally had when I was a younger woman. Certainly my survival skills kicked in. My absolute audacity for justice became very important, and also the understanding that if people are harmful to you, you don't need them in your life. You can move on past that. But it was very also it was important that I not feel vengeful. I think that really dissipates one's energy to go on and make a good life for oneself and one's children. I'm remarried. I've been remarried for over 20 years to a wonderful
Mazel
husband.
Tov.
Thank you. And he did take care of the children. My youngest was 9 when we remarried, and he was a major factor in raising that youngest son. And I became a real estate broker. I knew at the time when I was separated, I needed to make money quickly. I couldn't stay in the publishing world where I had been, as much as I really loved it. And it had been a good second career after my English teaching career early on in my marriage. But I went on to become a real estate broker, having my own firm. That was encouraged by my second husband that I should work for myself. I had other brokers working for me, and I entered the world of commercial real estate. I love New York City. I thought here was an opportunity to make money without owning buildings. You can go lease an office space and make a commission and live happily ever after.
And if someone wanted to hire you, how would they reach you?
They would reach me at Sperry Van Ness Butler Kane. That's my commercial real estate company, and the number is 212-686-4949. I'm a commercial real estate broker. I find stores for people. I find offices. I represent landlords that would like to put people into their buildings, and that's one aspect of my career right now.
So you went from teaching to publishing to real estate.
That's right.
And in the middle of that, you raised three boys.
Three wonderful children, 2 boys and a daughter. And I do want to tell you about the success of these children. My daughter went to Annapolis. So here she was, a naval officer. I'm very proud of her having made that choice. It was a very difficult choice, but she knew I did not have money to send her to a private 4-year school, and she wanted to be an engineer. So she made that difficult choice. She went to Annapolis. She then went on to flight school and got her wings, which I proudly pinned on her in San Antonio, Texas, a number of years ago. And she served 12 years in the Navy, and now happily she's married to a wonderful, wonderful husband and raising my 2.5-year-old grandson, Alexander.
That's great. Now, when you were living with Mr. Nichols, your children were going to private school, correct?
They were initially, yes.
And did there come a time when they stopped going to private school?
Yes, they had to. My daughter went into public school shortly after the separation, and one of my other sons was able to get some state funding to continue on at a private school. But basically, it changed the way we lived.
Okay, so, and the goal, just so the listeners are aware, the goal of support is to have you live in this, or your children to live in the same manner which they previously enjoyed.
Yes, I think if at all possible, you know, there could be constraints that could be reasonable, but that is the goal of a separation.
Okay, Marilyn, we're about to go to break, but I just want to say one thing. I met you about 15 years ago at the Coalition for Family Justice.
Oh my goodness!
I'm sure you don't remember me, but I remember you.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
And it was, I mean, the luck of the draw, and why I always consider Manhattan to be a small town, is that one day I'm walking in here to do my show. And who is Sam interviewing but Marilyn? And Marilyn said, I should do your show. And then I went, I know you.
Isn't it great? It is a small town we live in. And it's a wonderful place to keep friends.
Mayberry.
It is.
Okay, we're going to come back in a couple of minutes, and we're going to talk some more to Marilyn. Oh. This is The Divorce Hour. Forgot the name of the show for a minute. I am Larry Bloom, and we are here at Talking Alternative.
You are listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Is lack of capital or credit keeping you up at night? The Show Me the Money conference is coming to the Roosevelt Hotel, 45 East 45th Street in Manhattan, on November 3rd. This is the best business networking opportunity to meet potential investors and lenders and get answers from our expert panel of business and financial advisors. For more information, call 646-619-8091 or online at Rosado Accounting, that's R-O-S-A-D-O accounting.com/showmethemoney.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
stinks. Love stinks.
The Jay Giles Band. Love stinks. I don't hear myself on the... Okay. I'm here with Marilyn Kane, and actually, we can talk about love stinking, because it stunk with the first one, and its aftermath, but 20 years is a very good run with your second husband.
It is good, isn't it?
I know. I lasted 25 years with my first wife, and God willing, I will meet someone and spend 25 years with the next one. That's my goal.
Nothing like a good marriage.
And tomorrow is my 27th anniversary.
Wow.
How about that?
That's very cool.
It's very cool. But we're not together. And hopefully within a month's time, we will be done. And we don't have your issue.
No.
Because my children are older and the younger one lives with me. So that's not one of the issues we have. The last 2 weeks I've been talking about self-esteem, and what a great coincidence to have you come in after those two shows. You are not a victim.
No, I certainly am not. I just find life much too precious to get caught up in feeling victimized and trod upon. And I never really wanted to look like a victim. And I learned that there is a persona that one can emit that will help other people not be victims. This is just a part of some people's lives. And if you allow it to use up your energy, your spirit, your physical health, you know, shame on you. I do remember, and I don't want any of the viewers to think that this was easy. I do remember mornings when I felt totally paralyzed, panic attacks, mornings where I wasn't sure I could function. So I do want the listeners to understand that if they're feeling pain, it wasn't that I didn't.
How did you get yourself to move out of that paralysis?
I physically would realize I've got these three children. They have to get off to school. They have to have their breakfast. I have to make their lunch. And if not me, then who? I couldn't subject my children to the fear of having a mother falling apart. So I would just say, get your feet on the ground, stand up, and just get going. Invariably then I would be gagging in the bathroom while I was brushing my teeth. The total fear of getting through the day. But I tell you, at the end of the day, when I did manage to facilitate the kids' needs and get to work and all of that, I also knew that it was all right to pat myself on the back and say, you did it. You did it. You're okay. You're going to be okay. So maybe I just had to be my own best friend.
Your own advocate.
Yes.
Wow. And what a great role model for your kids.
Well, I hope so. And they're very, very fine young adults. They're good, good people.
Okay. The vast portion of the listening audience doesn't have fathers or support payers, because they could be mothers now as well.
Absolutely.
Who are crossing state lines. And you use some of the in-state enforcement remedies, or at least you tried, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You could go to court. You could file contempt orders for non-payment. I think some of that, some of those methods have been streamlined now. It was a little harder then. I think you can go to family court and file some of these petitions on your own without an attorney.
You can do that, and you can get quicker to the threat of and the actual incarceration than you can in if you were enforcing in the divorce court, in the Supreme Court. So you got money judgments against him, I assume.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and if he had any property here, you could have levied on that property.
Right.
And I would imagine also that somehow you had litigation against him in the state of Vermont so that you could sell off, auction off his stuff.
I think that was the federal.
Oh, that was part of the federal?
No, I don't recall, but that was, it was very interesting that they just seized all of those possessions.
What about the house itself? There's a lovely picture of it in the People magazine.
I know. It's like a Hyannis.
I know. It says it's a $500 million house, but I got to tell you, that was 15 years ago.
There was an enormous mortgage on it. Actually, when I pursued getting his home in Florida, in Boca Raton, there was such a huge mortgage on it that it really wasn't worth anything.
Okay. And I would imagine the same thing with... With the Vermont house.
There was even, I think, arrearages in the Florida home on the mortgage, so that basically when we went in to seize that, there was very little available to us on it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me if he was a bad guy. If you're a bad guy to your kids, you're a bad guy.
Well, a deadbeat is a deadbeat, I guess.
I guess.
But it's interesting. The word deadbeat dad then got into the Webster's Dictionary. I think deadbeat was in it, but after my case, deadbeat dad actually... made Webster's.
Wow. So you're responsible for the coinage of that term.
I guess so.
Although now we're very gender neutral. And we call it deadbeat parents.
I'm very gender neutral. There are certainly deadbeat mothers too. It's very often it's the moneyed spouse who doesn't want to pay.
That's what it comes down to. And usually it's the moneyed spouse who is the non-custodial parent.
Very often. Yeah.
Again, gender irrelevant to that.
Exactly.
Now, you couldn't do a garnishment or an income execution because he had no income in New York. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. So that's one of the aspects that you can do, that the listeners can do if they have a job. Property execution. He had no property left in New York. Is that correct?
That's right.
And I take it your vacation home was not in the state of New York?
That was in Pennsylvania. That was a very interesting part of our case. We went to Pennsylvania. We had this country house. It wasn't worth very much. It's in the Poconos. It had been pretty much paid for. And he hired an attorney to try to get the house. And the judge then said, well, where is Mr. Nichols? And the attorney said, well, I'm representing him. He says, you mean to say that he didn't even want to show up? This house meant so much to him that he didn't even want to show up. And he said, Mrs. Nichols, have you gotten any child support? I said, no, Your Honor. He slammed the gavel down. He said, the house is hers. And if he doesn't hand that deed over in 10 days, I'm coming after him.
Did he sign the deed over?
We just got the house. I don't remember how
okay,
it happened.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So the $30,000 of equity in it or whatever, but anyway, got my country house.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. So he had no other property here?
No, just that those personal properties that we seized in Vermont. And we sold it at auction. It was an all-day auction. I was able to speak about justice and child support, and the press was there, and they showed all of the possessions out in this warehouse. And I think I went home with a television for one kid and clock radio for another.
Well, they gave you some.
Actually, I bought them.
You bought them?
Yeah, I bought them at auction.
But then
I got back all the money except the 15% that the auctioneer.
Well, the auctioneer has to. Everybody's got to get paid. That's the
absolutely.
Problem.
Absolutely. He did a good job.
Okay, we're going to come back. I think we have one more segment with Marilyn Kane. The hour's going too fast. I am Larry Bloom. This is the Divorce Hour at TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm New York State Senator Joe Addabbo. I will be hosting a job fair on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack in Queens from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We will have over 100 companies looking for qualified workers. There will also be lectures on job strategies and networking. So come and bring plenty of resumes. And join me on Friday, November 12th at Aqueduct Racetrack for a job fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please call Pete in my district office at 718-738-1111.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doubledimondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Goodbye to You by Scandal. Scandal's bass player, former client of mine. So that's very apt, and thank you. And I'm sure that it was goodbye and good riddance to Mr. Nichols once he left. Fair enough?
Well, you know, it's funny, Larry. I might have been naive, but I didn't know my marriage was having all those issues or problems. And the day that... that he told me he didn't love me anymore. Actually, I was flabbergasted. And
you had just come home from a vacation.
Yeah,
together,
a wonderful trip to France and Paris and
the most romantic city in the world.
You know, I was thinking, I really love my husband. My life is wonderful. And it's interesting. I've spoken to a number of people over the years, women and men both, who just had the same thing happened. They just didn't have a clue. There was one book written around the time, also by with a pseudonym of a woman that I had met, and it was called Sudden Endings. And she, too, was an evening at theater with her husband when he informed her he wasn't going back home with her. And it just came out of the blue. It's I don't know if it's a midlife thing, that my husband was only 38. But how naive we feel when we just don't know it's coming. So in some ways it's good because I didn't have a miserable marriage. I loved my husband. There was no abuse. There was no verbal or physical abuse. And then it was over. It's sudden endings. And then you get on with your life.
That's incredible. At least my wife knew that I had slept in the guest room for a year. And that there was,
it was obvious.
You know, it was obvious that something was going to happen.
Right.
There's so much to talk about.
There is.
There really is. And I'm hoping that you can come back again and speak with us. You know, there are a number of things about enforcement. There is not just the Family Court Act and the domestic relations law in New York, but there's regular enforcement of judgments under what's called the CPLR, or the Civil Practice Law and Rules. I'm happy to report that one of the major cases involving property execution is incredibly, incredibly technical, is a case that not only was I the lawyer on, I was the litigant on.
Wow.
So... I have a particular interest in this, too. But one of the things that I got out of law school in 1979, I had Professor David Siegel. David Siegel literally wrote the book on, and I'm not kidding, he wrote the book. He's now on his fourth edition. I had it the first edition of New York practice and all the procedure. And I just want to read his introductory paragraph on the enforcement of judgments. Now, I don't have my glasses, and I'm going to talk about my midlife crisis in a minute. In many respects, this topic, enforcement of judgments, gives law its ultimate test. We learn that the law is divided into substantive and procedural segments. The whole of the substantive law determines whether the plaintiff has a right, and the whole of the procedural law, at considerable expense to the plaintiff, hears everyone out, determines whether the plaintiff has a claim, and gives the plaintiff a judgment if she has. If the judgment can't be enforced, law is bound to fail. to fall several notches in the esteem of the plaintiff, which makes the enforcement of judgments a key moment in a test of the system. The system failed you.
Oh, many, many times. There were so many there were so many judgments, even out of state, and sometimes we were on a conference call, and the frustration of getting off the phone and just not seeing any ability of the court to enforce their own judgments. It was extremely frustrating. You're not even to say, well, you know, $1,000 is due by the end of the day, or the rent has to be covered this month. There was just no gumption in some of these court orders.
No guts.
Yes. It was very, very frustrating.
And let me ask you this. How many times did you get an order of incarceration before he actually went to jail?
Orders of incarceration. Well, I think it was the orders of judgments that were that they were not enforcing them, and they didn't use jail as the reason that they could give to get the judgment. But that first arrest in Vermont was the first incarceration and the first order for incarceration.
Okay, great. Marilyn, I want to just, in my remaining minutes, I want to address two other topics. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure, Larry.
Please
thank
stay
you.
Tuned for two of my good friends. Tony Martinetti has the next show, and I'm happy to report that former Talking Alternative and possibly future Talking Alternative host, Larry Sharp, will be a special guest. This is an interesting weekend. It is the 7th anniversary of my brother's suicide. It is my 27th wedding anniversary. And it is this suicide prevention walk. Gaining money or donations for suicide prevention education. It's at 11 o'clock down on Chamber Street. We'll be going on Sunday morning, the 24th. We'll be going over the Brooklyn Bridge. Call me at 212-964-3502 for more information. Email me at Larry at Divorce by Bloom, no spaces, just Divorce by Bloom, BLOOM.com. I am so happy to be here. I love doing this show. If you enjoy hearing it, don't keep us a secret. Tell your friends. Thank you again, Marilyn. Thank you, Sam, for running the board and picking out that great music. Stay tuned for Tony and Larry. Talk to you next week. This is Larry Bloom on the Divorce Hour at TalkingAlternative.com.
Bombadida, 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 about the clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again. Again.